Amen. I think several in here tonight, you could sing that, maybe not as good as him, but you could sing those lyrics, that he touched me. I remember the day it happened for me. November the 29th, 1977, in the living room of my home. You see, it doesn't matter if you're in your living room, in a church house, at the barn, in a jail cell, driving an 18-wheeler down the road. Went outside to cool off after just having a fight with the wife. It doesn't matter where. He can touch you. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, some of you are going to get touched tonight. Very seldom do I know ahead of time what the Lord wants me to share. And I told the crew yesterday morning, I felt like I knew. And ever since then, I've been trembling. Say, he's going to change as sure as the world. He's going to change. He always changes when I think I'm going to know what I'm going to share. But I want to share with you for a few moments. It's not going to take long for the Lord to do his work if you'll listen. If you can listen fast as I'll talk, we'll be out of here in at least 2 hours. Hebrews chapter 12. Now to set the stage, Hebrews chapter 11 is known as the chapter of faith. Actually, Hebrews, the whole book, is known as the book of faith, but Hebrews chapter 11, there's so many stories in there of the great fathers and mothers of our faith. There's so many stories. You need to go back and read it, and you need to study the lives of the people that are in Hebrews chapter 11. You'll have to go back in the Old Testament on many of them, but you will find in there people like Joshua and Gideon and Samson and Abraham and Moses and different ones, how by faith they overcame and subdued and conquered and had victory, and many miracles were wrought and done in their lives and in their circumstances and situations. And Hebrews chapter 11 has just finished talking about that, and we pick up in chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." This journey that we're on called life, it's related as a race. And if we'll know it, there's several things we want to notice, but this is not my text. I'm going to be somewhere else in a minute, but this sets it up. But it talks about, in verse 1, running with patience. It talks about endurance. This is not a sprint that we're on. This is a long-distance run. For mom, it's 97 years. For others, not quite as much. But it's a long-distance run, and along this journey, along this race, you're going to have plenty of opportunities to throw in the towel, throw up your hands, and quit. You're going to have opportunities to be overcome or to overcome. You're going to have opportunities to be the victor or the victim. You're going to have opportunities, like the people in the preceding chapter, to watch your faith work or watch your faith in failure work. You see, all of us have faith. It's what is your focus? What is your faith in? Is it in God, or is your faith in the devil? Oftentimes, it's not a situation where we as Christians need more faith. We need to readjust our focus. We need to realign with His Word. So it's a long-distance race. It's a race of endurance. And since it is so, He says in that same verse, let us lay aside every weight, which the dictionary says is a heaviness, a burden as of sorrow, an influence or a power. Let us lay aside these things and the sin. Now see, not all weights are sins. Sometimes they're just things that you're carrying that hinder you from running the way that you should run. Very common in the society in which we live, we all get guilty of doing this. And the Lord warned us. He said, take heed. In other words, listen up, pay attention, lest you become entangled with the cares of life. Not that they're sins, but we just get caught up in the busyness of life and having to shuffle them the kiddos and grandkids to soccer and t-ball and volleyball and taekwondo or rodeo or whatever the case is. And we get to passing ourselves going and coming, and we don't know if we're winding or scratching, and we can't tell you what's up or what's down. And we all got calendars. Josh, he makes me sick. I say, Josh, put on your calendar such and such. First thing he does is pull his cell phone out. And I think, you're not fixing to make a phone call right now. He got a calendar in that thing. And he puts everything down on that calendar in that phone. I guess it honks or beeps at him or something. I don't know, but I don't do that. I just tell Robin, remind me I'm supposed to be so and so. And she honks and she beeps. But she makes sure I'm there, and I'm thankful for her. But lay aside that weight, that burdensome thing, that heaviness. That's not a sin necessarily, so that you can run. Secondly, in verse 2, it talks about our focus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's so easily to get our focus on the mountain that stands before us or the obstacle that's in front of us, that our focus changes from Jesus to that. Now, problems are real. Mountains are big. Issues are tough. Battles are hard. But we've got to stay focused on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Scripture says, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it. He's going to perfect it. He's going to complete it. He didn't just save you and kick you to the curb and say, do the best you can. No, He's closer than the air we breathe. He sticks to us. He's a friend that never forsakes. He's a friend that never leaves us. He's there all of the time, and we've got to keep our focus upon Him. In verse 3, it talks about remembering why we run, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Remember why we're running this race. We're running. Heaven, yes, is our ultimate goal, but we're running to bring honor and glory to Him. We're running to worship and to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We don't want to fail Him. We don't want to let Him down. We've got to keep our focus on Him, remembering why we're running. Don't faint in your mind. Scripture says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, and whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I've said many times, we usually want to throw that at somebody when they're doing something bad, and it applies to that, but it also applies to the good things that we do. If we're sowing good seed, we reap a good harvest. Now, if you would flip to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, 4, and 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, and 5. For we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. Y'all listen. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but there's that word. What does that mean? What's fixing to be said is more important, of more power, more significance than what was just said. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Here's what God spoke to my heart yesterday morning at the barn feeding. Strongholds. Many of you have come in here tonight. There are strongholds that are deeply rooted and grounded in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. You've tried to overcome them. You've tried to kick it to the curb. You've tried to, as best you can, to ignore it, to get rid of it, to throw it away in whatever way. But it's called a stronghold for a reason. Stronghold means, I've been using the dictionary a lot because I didn't know near as much as I thought I knew. Stronghold means it has strong defenses or a fortress. It has strong defenses or a fortress. You see, you've been trying to beat that stronghold in your life in fleshly ways. Scripture clearly told us our weapons are not carnal. They're not of flesh and blood. Our weapons, they are mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. So many people flood the churches across America, and they're putting on their best everything okay face. And they may have all of their bills paid and be driving a nice car, truck, pulling a fancy living quarters trailer with a really nice horse in it. Can't rope worth a flip, but they got all that stuff. But they still have a stronghold, something they can't do anything about, which reminds me of the story that I've shared with you so many times, and it's appropriate right here. You remember in the Gospels, it says, there came unto Jesus a man with a withered hand. Jesus said unto him, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched forth his hand, and it became whole as his other hand was. I preached that passage of Scripture for many years, and it was just 2, maybe 3 years ago, the Lord let me see something there that I'd never seen. We know that he had a good hand, representative of our lives, our education, our athleticism, our good looks, our ability to make money, things that were useful or useful and productive in our lives. But we also know that he had a withered hand, representative of possibly a stronghold in your life, something that's ugly in your life, something that's keeping you from being the person that you want to be and that the person that you know that God wants you to be. It's withered and it's ugly. And you've tried and you've tried. But here's what God let me see. When he said, stretch forth thine hand, he didn't say which one. And so many people, every week in churches across America, we'll keep that withered hand in our pocket and we'll offer that good one up to the Lord and we'll leave with a witheredness. But like this man, he was willing to say, Lord, here's something ugly in my life, something that's tormenting me, something that's keeping me from walking in the joy of the Lord the way that I hear others do and the way I see in your word, that I should be walking in the joy and the peace of God. this ugly thing, if you can do anything with it, here it is. God healed it. Tonight, maybe your stronghold, and I wrote a few things down, and it's certainly not limited to this, but maybe you have feelings of inferiority, addictions, depression, oppression, a lying spirit, a religious spirit, laziness. Want to know why you can't get a job? You're lazy. Gossip, critical spirit, judgmental spirit, crushed emotions, unforgiveness, racism, pride, arrogance, resentment, and the list goes on and on and on and on. What's your stronghold? What's the witheredness in your life? We know Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We know that where two or more are gathered together, he's in our midst. He's here. And the healthy have no need of a physician. But those that have strongholds do. Those that have sin do. Those that need wisdom do. We need him in our lives. Amen. And he says, come. I want to touch you. I want to heal you. I want to set you free from that stronghold. You don't need to carry it any longer. Here's what I'm going to do. This is very unconventional, very unusual. But if you're tired of carrying that stronghold, it doesn't matter what it is, and nobody has to know but you and God. I put out some tablets of paper across here and some pens. I want you to get out of your seat right now. Come down here, write down on there. Don't sign your name to it. Just write down what that stronghold is. Wad it up. Throw it at the foot of this cross and stay at the front. And I want you to talk to the Lord for a minute, ask him for help. And I want to pray over all of you at the end. And I'm going to believe God to do some miracles and set you free right now. If that's you, get up and come right now. Get up and come. If you got a stronghold and you want to get rid of it, you get down here and you write it on this piece of paper. You're tired of carrying it. Nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to read it. Just write it down. Tear that page off. Wad it up. Throw it down here at the foot of the cross. And we're going to believe God to do a miracle in your life. We're going to believe God to touch you and to set you free. He come to set at liberty those that are bound. He's come to set us free. You may say, Dennis, this is the craziest thing I ever saw. Maybe it is. It's what the Lord told me to do. It's what the Lord told me to do. I remember we did this a couple of years ago, one night about forgiveness. And I heard a testimony that came back. I'm going to share it as others need to come. We're going to wait on you. Had a testimony. Came to me like this. A father and a son had not spoken for, I believe it was 11 years. It was either 11 or 13 years. That father came down here one night with unforgiveness and he wadded it up and he gave it to Jesus. The next day, after all of those years, for no explainable reason, of course it was the Spirit of God, the son came by the home. Went out in the backyard, and for 2.5 hours, he and his dad sat and cried and talked, and God restored that relationship. Now, I don't know what the strongholds are that are in your life, but God knows. God knows. And he doesn't want you to carry it. And this word of God is clear and simple. If we ask anything, don't get theological on me. The scripture says, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us when we pray. Scripture, the Bible is full of scripture after scripture after scripture where he does not want you being in bondage and carrying this stuff around. So it's his will. That's why I'm saying we're going to believe and see miracles. If you're honest with yourself and honestly giving it to God, he's going to help you be free from this tonight. I believe that with all of my heart. Now, you know the specifics. I'm going to pray, but I want you to talk to God. I want you to ask the Lord. God hears your prayers as well as he hears mine or the Pope's or anybody else's. He hears your prayers. okay? We'll give you one more scripture. It said, let us come boldly before the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and help in our time of need. Do you need him tonight? You've got his attention. Those of you in your seats, don't sit there dumbfounded. Pray for these folks down here. Will you? Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful that we can come to a God that loves us enough to die for us. We're thankful that we can come to that throne of grace and let our needs and requests be made known to you. And Lord, you know the specifics and the details in every one of these people's lives tonight. And they need you, Lord, to touch them and to deliver them and to set them free from this stronghold. According to your word, we bind the strong man, the tormentor, the devil, the one that is on a mission to torment them and destroy them, their peace and their joy, to take from them those things. We come against him in the name of Jesus. Lord, we put all of our begs into one asking. We ask you to do what only you can do, and that's to set them free. In Jesus' name, every head still bowed, every eye still...